Welcome to the Bridge Podcast, a digital worship service. We know that walking with the Lord isn't easy, and we hope this show is a way to come alongside you and offer a little extra weekly encouragement. Most of the content for the show was originally created for our BridgeBox subscription service. For more information, go to missionusa.com/BridgeBox.
Accomplishment, then you know I wouldn't stand a chance. But you said you wanted failure, so here I am. You were looking for intelligence, then you know I wouldn't stand a chance. But you said you wanted fools, so here I am. Thank you, God, for love I don't. And thank you, God, for love I did not earn. So here I am. You were looking for good citizens, then you know I wouldn't stand a chance. But you said you wanted prisoners, so here I am. If you were looking for a faithful man, then you know I wouldn't stand a chance. But you said you wanted doubters, so here I am. Thank you, God, for love I don't deserve. And thank you, God, for love I did not earn. If you were looking for a righteous man, then you know I wouldn't stand a chance. But you said you wanted sinners, so here I am. If you were looking for a worthy man, then you know I wouldn't stand a chance. But you said you wanted me, so here I am. And thank you, God, for love I don't deserve. And thank you, God, for love I don't deserve. And thank you, God, for love I don't deserve. And thank you, God, for love I did not earn. Thank you, God, for love I don't deserve. And thank you, God, for love I did not earn. So here I am.
How y'all doing? Well, here's the thing. What today we're talking about, how do I give good advice or say something smart and useful when someone's having a problem? And the way I want to start this off is consider saying nothing. Because sometimes that's a lot better than what I hear when people try and give a brilliant analysis of my problems. You see, I notice there's a lot of Christians, when you tell them what your struggle is, their brilliant insight is to take it and flip it upside down and present it to you as a brilliant solution. So if you say, you know, I'm having doubts lately, they say, well, you know, you've got to have faith. Oh, wow, I never thought of that. Thanks. I just thought having doubts might, you know, sure, no, now that you say it, yes, I should have faith. That's a brilliant breakthrough that I wasn't even contemplating. Lovely, amazing, you know. Well, I'm dealing with a lot of anger lately. I'm angry with people. Well, you know, you just got to have joy. Really, would you draw me a map from where I am now to joy? Because you make it sound like I could jump from here to there. So I'm saying there, we have this bad habit sometimes of just flipping people's problems upside down and handing it back to them and say, you're welcome, that's a solution to your problem. That's not how life works. That's not really helping me. It's not going to help you. First question I have is, do you actually understand what's going wrong with me? If you're going to tell me something about what I'm going through, there's an amazing number of times in my life I've shared, here's a struggle that I'm having and whatever, and they start breaking down things they heard in a sermon that they liked somewhere, or in a book that they read somewhere, or they just start talking about stuff that they like to hear themselves talk about. Or they start talking about themselves, their own thing, but I don't hear much about me and what I'm going through. And for some reason, I think we have this tendency to be uncomfortable with that silence. And we're uncomfortable with that moment where we just don't know what to say. See, the difference between an experienced man of God or an experienced woman of God, when they're going to talk to somebody about the Lord and about their struggles, they're comfortable giving this phrase, I don't know. See what I'm saying? I say that phrase all the time. I don't know. People will talk to me and tell me their problems. They'll just, you know, gloss over the top of it and leave out a lot of details that really just, you know, are why we're having this problem. And then they say, well, why do you think I have that problem? And I say, I don't know. I think you know. And I think you're not telling me yet. So why don't you keep talking? And then maybe we'll know. See, I'm comfortable with I don't know. I don't have all the answers. I don't have all the deepest mysteries solved and figured out. I'm comfortable saying I don't know. The best pastors, the best preachers, the best people I know have a way of saying that. So if we're going to talk about this subject of helping people figure out how to get through their struggles, we always need to start with this verse. This is from Luke 11:46. Jesus said, and you experts in the law, woe to you, because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourselves will not lift one finger to help them. Here's what he's saying. You got people, experts, in telling people what they have to do. Experts. I don't know how much expertise it takes to tell, but they got their experts in it. And then they're loading people down with these burdens. You got to do this. You got to stop smoking. You got to stop drinking. You got to stop doing what you're doing. You got to go get a job. You got to get. You got to start to get this shirt and button it all the way up to here and get your Bible, tuck it under your arm, go to church. And they pretend that that's useful advice. You just giving me another thing to do. That's not actually helping me yet. I already got a list of things to do. You lengthened my list of things to do. We ain't fixed nothing yet. He says, you yourselves will not lift one finger to help them. See, you got to tell me how. That's where the problem's at. You gotta draw that map between where I'm at and where I need to go. You have to be prepared to dive in and walk this mile with me. You have to be prepared to make an investment in what's going on in my life and my situation. Otherwise, you just load me down with another thing to do. That's what the Bible is saying that we have to avoid. And unfortunately, I think we have that tendency to be that instant expert without being prepared to lift that finger. And I think that's this lifting a finger to help, that starts with having sympathy for the person that we're talking to. If we're going to give them some help and some advice and some encouragement, I see a lot of conversations between two people. One say, I'm struggling with this, and that other person has no sympathy whatsoever. They're just going to immediately start telling that dude what to do. But now, look, now I'm just going to tell you, it ain't like that. You got to start doing this. Wait. But you see what I'm saying, though, right? You see why I have this struggle, right? You know, that's an important thing we don't want to gloss over. It's important to let people know, look, I'm wrong a lot. And I get myself in a lot of messes, and I'm responsible for a whole lot of my own suffering. I don't know if that's true for you. But here's the funny thing. I still want a little bit of sympathy for my stupid decisions. It seems a little crazy, but I do. And I don't feel bad expecting it from people like you, because I know you expect it from me. And I think there's nothing wrong with that. I think it's fine to say, look, I made a stupid decision. I feel bad towards myself about it. And I know that I don't have a right to complain about it. But man, it's so hard dealing with that. I think it's okay for us to say those things out loud, and okay to sympathize and say, I know, I've been there, done that, I've made that mistake, I know what you mean. Now let's look at what we're going to do moving forward. But if we skip that step, I think the chances that we're really going to minister to that person go down. As we were saying during the launching pad, listening's important. I think people who know what I do for a living, which is what you're seeing now. This is what I do for a living. If people know what I do for a living, they assume I'm walking around saying smart things everywhere I go. I just walk into a room and everyone stops and I say, you know, the fullness of the manifestation of the holiness of the sanctification of the Holy Spirit has been bestowed upon us in the fullness of the mercy of the grace of the everlasting. And then everybody in the room's like, whoa, yeah, wow. And then I leave the room, they're like, I'm going to do that now. Yeah. That's not what I do at all. If you followed me around, you would see me listening 90% of the time and talking more like 10% of the time. The more I listen, the less I need to say. Some people I talk to, and they say, well, I'm doing this and I'm doing that, but you know what? It's probably because I went over here and did that other thing, and that's, you know, I probably should have done this other thing instead of what I was doing. And now I can see, you know, I've been doing that a lot, so that's probably a bad habit going, and I've not been in the Word. So that's probably where all that got started. Thanks for the advice. I really appreciate it. I say, now that's, remember where you heard it, too. See, that people have a way of seeing it for themselves when they can talk it through. So a big part of what we need to do is listen. Isn't it? Don't you feel ministered to and loved when someone listens to you? I do. I want to have somebody who's interested in digging deeper and hearing more and for us, you know, looking underneath the surface of things. And don't preach me a sermon because I told you one thing you think you know something about. Let's get into this thing and dig deep. Listening gives us an ability to speak precisely to what this person is struggling with, rather than just painting with a broad brush. And that makes a huge difference in terms of people accepting it. I have a problem with this perception of my goal is to say something to blow this person away. My goal is to, whatever they're on, to not be on it. But when you really think about it, sometimes people need to work through things as a process. Let's say you're talking to someone and they just lost their best friend. And they're going, you don't tell that person, just have joy anyway. That doesn't make sense. The Bible says, mourn with those who mourn. The idea is you tell them, I'm sorry. And I don't know what to say, but would you like for me to go with you? Would you like me to drive you? And afterwards, we'll get a bite to eat, and you could talk about that person and their experiences and what, why they matter to you in your life. That's ministry. It's not about what you say with that mouthpiece. It's not about having those brilliant things to say. God will get, if you listen enough, you'll hear something, and the Lord will give you a little bit of a word on that one little thing that someone says. That will make the difference. But trying to preach to them will not. So what's the goal? We'll end on this point. What's the goal? The goal is to help people get closer to the Lord and to do that together with us. In other words, we're working on this together. It's the difference between going to a garage, you know, and some of y'all have experiences where you go to the mechanic and you pull up and you pull into the thing and you open the door and the guy's standing there at the thing and he says, well, I can tell you what's wrong with your car right now. And you're thinking, you are here to rip me off. I can feel it already. You're not even going to let me tell you what it is before you've already started making up stuff when you heard me come up the block. But it's a different thing when you have a problem with your car and you drive it to your friend's house and you both pop the hood and you both stick your head underneath. Maybe neither one of you knows what to do. You may have doubled the number of clueless people in this equation, but we're in it together. See what I mean? We're going to look at this together and look and say, well, I don't know. And I got some ideas and we can work on that together. That's the image I want you to have in your mind. This is a verse we're closing on. Continue. This is about mourning with those who mourn. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were with them in prison. Y'all know what we're talking about, don't you? And those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. It's about having that sympathy. It's about having that understanding. It's about your heart being with other people and what they're going through. If we're in that place, we'll know what to say. Amen? God bless you. We love you. Let us now become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up.